Have you ever gone to a game store or some other public place to play a session of D&D and then found yourself shy, scared, or maybe a little unprepared? Wouldn't you like to be able to go to those places and still have an unbeatable session? Well, today we're going to talk about how to dungeon master in a public place, and we have a special treat today. We're joined by Tavern Keeper or Tavern
Wench. Yeah, Tavern Keeper, yeah.
Tavern Lord?
Exactly. Tavern Lord, Andrew Ashby from We Geek Together.
I like that.
This is How to Be a Better DM, and we are the show dedicated to helping overwhelmed and maybe confused dungeon masters actually start to complete campaigns that they're proud of. And I'm Justin Lewis, joined by Cade Notley and Tanner Wayland.
Hey.
Hello.
And together, we've been helping Dungeon Masters solve these problems for over 130 episodes now, and we'll keep going strong.
I thought you were going to say 130 years.
Fantasy years. Vampires. Definitely fantasy years. So, thanks for joining us, Andy.
Heck yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always fun to do these in-person shows. And for those of you who listen to the end of today's show, Andy is going to give you a little bit of a teaser, really a surprise, for the upcoming Dead Wars event, which is a world record-breaking D&D game, 3,000-plus players on May 3rd and May 4th. And for those of you who are outside Utah, outside the United States even, this is going to be even more important and more fun and cool for you. But let's jump right into it. So you are in a very interesting situation compared to most DMs out there. You have a store.
I run a gaming store. Yeah. Public place. Yeah.
Exactly. So you've been able to see probably both the good and the bad in terms of dungeon masters coming. And I think probably the best place to start is when it comes to being a dungeon master in a public place. What are the rules of etiquette that people should follow and sometimes maybe they don't?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a different implied standard when you are playing in public. Like, if you're playing at home on the couch with your other buddies, you could be laying on the floor or have your feet up in the air, you know, eating Cheetos, whatever, that kind of stuff, on your belly, that kind of stuff. Your friends don't mind, but in a public space, you probably don't get away with that. And if you do, well, people will be looking at you weird. So you do kind of have to be aware of that. That being said, if you have a good group of players, the energy and the fun that you can have at the table, I say, is completely comparable to what you can have at home. If you have the right group, it's still a blast to play. And sometimes playing in the right atmosphere can even get you more in the state of mind.
No, absolutely.
Do you find that, or have you ever heard any people like that play at your store, do they ever feel self-conscious or worry about their volume or anything like that?
It's usually new players who feel self-conscious about it. I mean, new players were already self-conscious about playing D&D for the first time, and so True. Then it's just kind of compounded on when they're playing in public. We offer a lot of experiences for brand new players. I have DMs, and brand new players come in all the time. And so if you have a good DM who's welcoming, who can break the ice and assure you, like, oh, hey, this is a totally fine place to be a little silly, maybe use a silly voice, and not know all the rules. It's okay if you don't know your character sheet. We're just here to have fun. And so I think really what you guys probably agree with, the dungeon master sets the tone of the game.
Yeah.
So if the dungeon master's relaxed, having a good time, the players will get there too pretty quick.
I think that's a very interesting point, and I think also, to a certain extent, the store that you go to, which, let's be honest, most public places you're going to play at are game stores.
Good place.
Yeah, very good place. I think in a way the store also sets the tone a little bit. For example, you know, it would be very different. You go to one store and there's two other groups playing, and then you go to a different store and everyone is playing Magic the Gathering. You're the only D&D group.
For sure, for sure. There's an interesting dynamic to other people playing. If you see another table playing D&D and they're having a good time, that can sometimes feed into your energy and you're like, oh yeah, this is a good place to be. Also, sometimes it can be distracting. You know, if you see that boy, that table looks like they're having a blast and they're really fun and they're laughing and cheering. And then you're at your table and everybody's just kind of staring at each other and it's really awkward.
Making dice towers.
It can absolutely, yeah, it can amplify that feeling. So I feel like game stores, you can get some of the best games and also some of the worst games.
Absolutely.
But it's worth the risk.
Yeah. Actually, in that situation, what would you do or counsel a dungeon master to do when they are the table with players that are a little bit stone-faced maybe, and there's a table that everyone's kind of jealous of and maybe comparing themselves to?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, the dungeon master's the one who can set the tone and the level of engagement and fun. So if you can just be like, hey, you guys, let's do a shopping episode, or let's orcs attack. Just suddenly you're just like, oh, shoot, the dragon just crashed through the window. What are you guys going to do? Like, if there's low energy at your table, I feel like one of your jobs as a dungeon master is to read your players and be like, hey, all right, they're not engaging with me. They're getting distracted by other stuff. They're off reading the comic books on the shelves. I need to have orcs attack now and get your attention and light this tree on fire because you guys aren't engaging with me. And that's not an easy thing for brand new DMs to do. But if you, as you get more experienced, you'll start to learn how to engage your players differently. And that's it's a trick, but you can do it.
Yeah, sorry, Caden, did you have something?
No.
I just was thinking about what you were saying about like pivoting. And I mean, we all know that that's so important, even in a home game. But when you're in public, I think that you need to kind of have that in mind. Because I would argue that you can't do any type of session the first time your players are playing in a public place, right? Because they're going to be self-conscious. They're going to be in an unfamiliar situation like you were mentioning. So it's like, okay, what do my players do really well at? Is it a shopping episode? Is it one where they're mostly just, you know, having fun talking with a goofy NPC? Then that's the one I need to plan, at least for the first time, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but then if they're really into combat and if that's where they really shine, start out with that. And then, you know, maybe on your second or third time, kind of work into those other areas where maybe they don't feel as comfortable or those types of sessions.
Heck yeah.
So kind of radical. Oh, did you want to say something, Caden?
No.
Sorry. You raised your hand.
You guys are so polite.
I know.
My other, when I'm just like, ah, screw you. Because I do my podcast with my brother, so I'm like.
Well, see, that's different.
I don't care about you.
Yeah, exactly.
I keep seeing Caden's hand move, and I'm like, yes?
It's because I'm a really tall guy,
this is a short table.
Yeah, he's a Goliath, and I'm a dwarf.
Or Crampton.
We have very different needs and stuff, but that's a weird way to say it. I wish I didn't say that.
It's on record. We ain't editing that out.
A DM pro tip. We all have our needs.
Yes.
Okay?
Exactly. Very kind of radical question. Is a game store a good place for a first-time DM to run their first session?
Ooh, boy. I love this question because I have theories. I have absolute theories. So, I think a game store is a fantastic place for a first session for many people, but not for everyone. And really, this is what it comes down to. Where are you going to hold your D&D session? Okay? If you are a college student and you're sharing an apartment with these other college guys, and you're bringing over your friends, okay, and you're crammed around a little kitchen table, and then your roommate comes in and he's watching TV, or if you're kind of a young adult and you've got kids who are running around screaming and they're watching Bluey, like it all depends on what your at-home environment is. Now, if you are a dungeon master who's invested in a basement and they've turned it into like the ultimate gaming space with like LED lights and a whole library of miniatures, a game store will never be able to beat that. Mm. But a game store will absolutely beat the pants off of college apartments, busy homes, because really the most important thing to me is the immersion. And there's so many things in a house that can distract from that, be it a TV, being it crying kids, being it a pet. There's so many things that distract from that. So it really depends on your play environment. If you have a noisy apartment and a lot of distractions, think about going to your local game store, because there's a lot of local game stores that have corner tables, tables that are far away from them. There's even game stores, and you guys are sitting in a private room that we're working on to turn this into a private room for gaming. There's game stores that have private rooms for gaming. And so you could absolutely get a really immersive, quiet game. And it even depends on when you play. If you come in on a Wednesday night, for example, and there's no events on the game store, that's going to be a really chill store, versus if you come in on Friday Night Magic, you know. So there's so many variables to that. My answer is game stores are a fantastic place to play, and definitely a step up with a lot of the busy things that people have. But if you have a dedicated gaming space, like, use that dedicated, you built that dedicated gaming space, use it, you know. Don't go to your local game store if you can beat it.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's my two cents.
I would even add on to that, because I know not every game store is like this, but at least here at We Geek Together, I really like that you have a lot of minis available. You have a lot of tools, right? Like, a lot of the tables have a screen on it. And I feel like for at least newer DMs, having those tools that they don't need to buy themselves, it just makes it an extra step easier, you know?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely a focus for me. I want this to be a D&D, a TTRPG store. So yeah. I absolutely provide those. I know there are other game stores that provide that to some extent. Yeah. I work hard on my atmosphere. I've somewhat soundproofed my store. So I've been really mindful about a few things. And we play, like, tavern-y music in the background. It's yes. Not like dubstep or ABBA or anything like that. It's kind of like theme appropriate music, and so, like, I really leaned into that. So I guess the advice is, go to your local game store first, see what the vibe is. Is it a clean place? Is it a happy place? Is it, you know, does the staff treat you well? Are the tables nice? Do they have a gear for DMs? If they do, heck yeah, that's a great place. But if you go in and you're like, I want to play D&D, and like they kind of sneer at you and they're like, well, you can go play on that table over there, and it's just like a plastic table, and the chairs are like sticky, then don't go there.
We've had that experience.
I don't want to say it.
I don't want to say it.
I might know which one we're talking about there.
Goodness. Now we're going to rank our least favorite stores.
Yes.
Go.
Specifically stores that are near us, and then, you know, but they're probably not listening, so it's whatever.
Brutal.
actually, on that note, I would say, to kind of build upon that point, stores that do a lot of wargaming, in my guess, in my opinion, will likely be a little bit more
comfortable,
yeah, for Dungeons and Dragons players.
They got terrain.
Exactly, compared to, you know, your stores that are literally just comic book stores, like they don't even have games,
yeah.
And then, you know, your trading card and collectibles stores. Those are still awesome, and they might have, you know, like Andy said, a table in the back or something like that. But I'd also hazard a guess that for most stores, well, obviously depending on their vibe, if you were to, like, say, hey, can I maybe, like, help make the mood more conducive to D&D players? Like, you know, I would guess that they would be a little bit open to that, because and you might have to correct me, but a lot of gaming stores don't make tons of money.
Yeah. Yeah. They, you know, it's a hard market. So if you could be like, hey, can I bring in music for my table? Mm-hmm. Is it okay if, you know, we take over this whole table? Do you have any terrain that we might use? Do you have a private room? Like, if they're a good game store, they will want to help you out. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, hey, this is what we got. Here's what I recommend, that kind of stuff. If they're a good game store.
Absolutely. Lol. One other thing I would say about this is, if you're a new DM, coming to game stores might be a better place, because they, you know, as Andy said, you can start off as a player, probably with like one of the people that own the store. I lived in Italy for about 2 years. And yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, That's cool. So while I was there, we found like a gaming den. And that's really the only way I could describe it because it looked like, I don't know how to, you know, it looked like it was supposed to be like some basement, but it was a game store and everything was like plaster, like the inside of Luke's home in you know, Tatooine.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was super weird. I don't think they did it on purpose. It was just like
just how it looked.
Exactly. But the people there were so nice, and they literally, like the owners, teach us how to play any game we wanted to. You know, I learned how to play Zombicide there, which is an awesome, you know, board game. But they did have D&D there if we wanted to, but my, you know, the person I was with didn't want to. But my point is,
rightfully so, because it's satanic.
Yeah, well, I mean, come on. You know, the 70s were right about a lot of things. But you can learn as a player from the people in the game store, and then they can, like, you know, if they're willing, they could probably coach you to, through your first session, right?
Yeah, or they know DMs, or they have resources. Exactly. Yeah, no, local game stores are fantastic wealths of knowledge for the community. Great people. You can find people who play. Even if you, even if the store owners can't help you, there's other people.
As a listener of this show, you obviously love story. Now that you've had a chance to craft your own story by listening to this show, wouldn't it be nice to get some inspiration? Or maybe you just want a moment of immersion and escape and entertainment. Whatever it is, come join us on our new show, Pact and Boon. It's an actual play D&D podcast in the world of Kalignos, where our characters, Jolly, Wolfgang, and Alon, will find and meet each other in hell. And from there, start a troublemaking journey with some near-death experiences that will hopefully lead them to a happy ending. Find it wherever great podcasts are heard, or just go to sessionzerostudios.com/pactnboon. That's PACTNBOON. Start listening today. Exactly.
Have you ever intervened into somebody's session? You've probably been asked for advice while people are running.
No, so I have very important to me in-store rules.
Okay.
And they're like, games are PG-13, no politics. Leave the politics out of the store. Just kind of basic, very basic safety rules. And I noticed, well, I'll give two stories real quick. I noticed at this one table, one of the occupants was crying. But it turned out one of the players at the table was being very controlling over this player. They were telling him, no, you should do this. This is how you play your character. You're not playing your character right, and that kind of stuff. So they were being very controlling. And the DM actually came up to me, and they're like, hey, can you help me with this? And I had kind of been watching it. I'm like, oh, yeah. And so I went over and I pulled the player to the side and I gave him a warning and I showed him my rules. And I'm like, I don't know if you're doing this on purpose, but this is, you're taking away the fun from another player. That's the other rule. We're all here to have fun, but it can't be at the expense of another person. And so you're taking away the fun of that person's character. I understand you know how to play and well, but their choices, that's where they get fun. So you shouldn't be telling them. And so I was able to defuse it, and they were able to play. And the person who was crying was able to get back into the game, and it felt a bit safer. And so they ended the game. And I don't know if they kept on playing together or not, but like they were able to like finish the session at least. So that was one story. And then another story, again, I saw some people, I saw like one person who was like almost in tears, and I saw somebody else who was like nervously pacing up and down the floor.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I was like, what is going on over here? So like, I go over to the table, and I'm like, hey, you know, is everything okay? Is everything going on or what's going on? And they're like, yeah, we just had a TPK. And everyone died at the table. Okay. And it was like a 2-year campaign. And the poor dungeon master was like, I'm so sorry. Like the poor dungeon master couldn't believe that they had done that. But they were really good players. They didn't blame the dungeon master. They were like, hey, you know, that's how the dice in the story went. We don't blame you. That wasn't you being a bad dungeon master. That's just how the story ended up winding. And so they were actually a really close group of friends. And so then what I did it for them is I got them all a bottle of mead so that you can like pour it out for, you know, in memory of all the fallen heroes and stuff like that.
That's super cool.
But I think that goes back to if you've got a good game store where the staff care, they're going to keep an eye on the stuff. And that helps with another level of safety that you can't get in a private home. In a private home, you're kind of at the mercy of the other occupants there. And so I would say if you're going to play with brand new people that you don't really know, maybe you just met on Discord or on Facebook, maybe guarantee your first few games are at a game store where they have to be well behaved and it's a much more safer space before you invite them into your own home and then you realize, oh, shoot, this guy's a creeper. You know, I do not want to play with this guy. So maybe I didn't really think about that till now, but game stores offer another safety level for that.
Do you have to prepare your employees to be stewards of the game?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I've trained my employees. Here's our culture. Here's our rules. Keep an eye on things as they're going. You know, be attentive. Don't just be, I don't know, not doing anything.
Yeah. So look for that in a game store.
Yeah. It sounds like, in that way, it's sort of like dating on, like, you know, the dating apps and stuff. Definitely play in a public space with people you don't know, right? And game stores are, like, filling that niche, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also feel like this kind of makes me appreciate more DMs who, regardless of place, are able to create a safe environment, period, you know? Because I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, there's a reason why you'd play publicly, you know, in a game store versus a library, you know, just because one is, hey, it's kind of built for that and it's expected and you can feel safe there. One, that's not really typical. And I think we take it for granted, like you were saying, about like while we're playing at home, assuming that's a safe place. But that's not always the case because sometimes people are coming in with weird power dynamics or like weird agendas and realizing like, hey, whether you're public or at home, if you don't set up the right environment, it's not going to be fun, period, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. The DM is the one who sets those safety. You guys have talked about session zero, safety, all that kind of stuff. So you guys know.
But funnily enough, I don't think we've actually talked about like real life safety, you know, right, Tanner? I think that should be one of our next topics because it's a very interesting one that I don't think a lot of people, you know, think about or talk about. So thank you for that. That's a really cool idea.
There you go. That one's on the house, boys.
This moves too.
I think it's interesting, though, the whole player community. Because, like, I love people who play D&D, but we get a whole range of characters and people and players and that kind of stuff. And especially when you're starting out or you don't know who you're playing with, it's a whole new ground, and so it's rolling the dice literally on who you're playing with.
Yeah. And it's almost more about like respect too, right? Because it's like, hey, not everyone needs to be the same kind of person, because you specifically have that rule. It's like, hey, keep politics out of it, keep other kind of stuff out of it that can be contentious. And that for so many people, you might think like, oh, but if I'm playing with someone who maybe I don't share the same interests or other things aside from D&D with, maybe you think that doesn't work. But it's like, no, if you have those kind of common respect kind of boundaries, then you're going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. No, I preach, like, if you've got the right group of players, you can play any game. Mm-hmm. You can play the most racist and dark, grimdark. I'm not saying you should do that. But I'm just like, you can dive into some of the most interesting, dark, morbid topics.
Yeah.
And like, you know, people talk about safety, but like if you're playing with the right group of people, you can approach so many interesting things. Mm-hmm. If you're at the right table with your right players, and don't you dare expose that to people who weren't ready or expecting that in your game. So, but for playing in public, for playing in my game store, let's not have any of those more morbid, grimdark, racist politic games, please. Let's not in my store.
Yeah, save that. Never mind. I won't say that.
Save that for your mom's basement.
Sort of taking a different tack now. Obviously, when playing, we've already talked a little bit about, you know, having the boisterous group over in the corner that's having super, you know, a lot of fun. But how have you seen DMs compensate for being in a loud environment, specifically with sound? Because I know that that can be a challenge, especially if you have people, you know, my wife, she's a little bit hard of hearing with one of her ears.
And, yeah, sound sensitivity.
Exactly. So, yeah. So how have you seen DMs deal with that, if you have?
You just got to be mindful of where you sit and kind of what the environment is before you get into the space. That's about the best advice I could give. Like, sorry. I've seen some local game stores where they just huddle all the tables into a corner. And so it's like an amplifying chamber. Just echoes, and it just bounces off the walls. And it's like a lunch cafeteria in there. I have been very conscious about my store design to, like, I have a wall that splits down the entire middle of my store. So, like, you can be on one side of the store, it could be pretty loud, and then when you walk to the other side of the store, it's suddenly a lot more quieter. So, I don't know. I've taken steps to really try to separate noise and be mindful of that. I can't say other game stores have. And so you just gotta try your best, you know? Maybe pick that corner table, see how the game store is before that, because no matter where you are, you're going to be battling the environment. Mm-hmm. Be it at home with your kids watching Bluey, be it at a local game store. Maybe a library is the best place for you to play, as long as you guys are just kind of, you know, talking normally. A local library would be totally chill with people coming and playing D&D if you're just, like, talking normally and you aren't, like, flipping tables or throwing dice or anything like that. So that might be the option.
So yeah. I couldn't play in a library.
Yeah, save that for your mom's basement. Yeah.
You flip tables constantly?
Yes.
It's a problem. Those arms look like they can flip tables pretty easily. Yeah,
those are arm flipping tables.
There we go.
Sort of a weird question, but have you ever, maybe something like this doesn't exist, but have you ever thought about, like, foldable panels that are somewhat soundproof that you can, like, kind of cordon around?
You know those Chinese changing
screens?
Yes.
So I have one of those, and I've been kind of playing with it. Maybe I have like three or four of them kind of stuffed in the corner,
right.
And then we put a blanket over it, that kind of stuff. Right. So if there's two tables that are right next to each other, you could just get one of those little folding screens, put it in between to give you a little bit of privacy.
Yeah.
That's a pretty easy, cheapish solution. Yeah. So I have one, and I do that every now and then. I also have like a giant standing projector screen that I also sometimes set up. So, so you know, talk to your local game store, see if they don't have a private room. Can I bring in my own folding screen? You know, just so I can like get this corner table private to ourselves. Yeah. I'd say yes.
That's really cool.
Have you guys seen Get Smart with Steve
Carell? Yeah. Cone of silence.
Oh, man,
that'd be
awesome. Yeah, just a cone of silence for the whole table.
Oh, that would be ideal.
Great.
Can you imagine?
Dude, that'd be so awesome. Actually, that leads us into the kind of the next question and sort of the last question.
I know.
What are some of the coolest tools or resources you've seen Dungeon Masters bring in or use just in general that in a public setting also would be good?
Great question. Of course, I'm going to draw a blank right now.
Well,
I've seen so many different DMs come in with so many different things. I've seen DMs with like DM screens that have a screen built into their DM screen, and then they use the TV table, and then all of their players have like tablets, and then they're all like connected and stuff, and VTT. Like I've seen some of the most craziest tech. And I've also seen just, you know, a bunch of high schoolers with paper and pencils. I don't have any recommendation on Kier, sadly. Cool. Because I believe you can have a kick-ass game with just pens and paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
So.
Absolutely.
Sorry, I swore. I don't know if you believe that.
No, that's totally fine. Our show is PG-13.
There we go. Yeah. I can say the A word once.
We got a one go and we used it.
I used it. Nobody else could say
the F word once, can't you?
No.
Oh, that's right.
The second, for those of you listening, this is a little bit of podcast behind the scenes. The second you say an F word, you have to mark the show as explicit. I'm otherwise, serious? Yes, oh. Yes.
Well, fudge.
awesome. Yes.
I'm sorry.
So, now that we're at the end of the show again.
wow, that's so cool how that works.
Time travel.
Magic.
But thanks so much for being here with us, Andy. Yeah. We've really enjoyed it.
I could talk about this forever. So.
Perfect. I mean, we'll come back definitely because we have a podcast talking about this kind of stuff. But let's finish up the show. First of all, we want you to tell everyone how they can reach out to you, support you, see what you're up to. But also tell us a little bit about Dead Wars and if possible... Reveal secret. Your secret.
Secret exactly. stuff.
Secret stuff. Secret secrets.
Yeah. So I'm Andy. I run a game store in Provo called We Geek Together. If you're in the nearby area, come and enjoy some mead and play at my tables. It's a great time. And you can find me on all the social medias except for X. I'm not on X, but everything else is under We Geek Together. So I got YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all that jazz. If you want to support us, I'm actually revolutionizing, boy, that's a very, prideful thing to say, but I believe I'm going to be the future of local game stores in the bit. So we've got some really exciting stuff coming. Speaking of, this is just a little teaser, but the Dead Wars is going to be the biggest game ever played. History. I mean, we did one last year, and this is going to beat the pants off of it. But if you can't make it to the event... Which is in Provo, Utah. Okay. And you should definitely come, because we're doing some amazing stuff there. But if you can't make it to the event, I'm going to tell you guys how you can still aid the war. April 2nd. You can fight in the war. More news coming.
Awesome.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Definitely check that out. But now, to end the show, let's just each go around and give one final tip for the Dungeon Master venturing into the public place who might be a little afraid, might be a little scared, and perhaps embarrassed. And this tip is going to get you through that shame, embarrassment, and fear, and you're going to have a great experience. So we'll start with Caden, and we'll just go down.
Putting you on the spot. Yeah. You got to go first. I hope you got something.
Sure. I'll come up with something. I think my advice would be take advantage of the tools that you're going to have. Make the best of it. Try to forget that there are other people around you watching. Commit just like you would if you have players in front of you to an NPC. You know, the other people who are around you probably don't care what you sound like or if you mess up. So just, yeah, that would be my advice. Just get out there and do it.
Love it.
Yeah. You stole mine. I normally say to commit.
Well, you told him to go first.
Yes, I did. That's my fault. Normally, I say you should commit, just like the Jonas Brothers. But if you want to know about that, you gotta email me or whatever, or Instagram. But
steal Nike.
Yeah. But since he took my advice, I think the next thing I would say is go to your local game store, get to know the manager.
Thank you.
Hang out there a little bit, kind of size up the spot, and then when you go, you should be excited because it's kind of a fun experience. You're in this new situation, new scenario, and you're going to have tools, like Caden said, that you didn't have before, and it can really become sort of this event rather than, we're just playing D&D with some friends at this place. You can kind of make it special for yourself.
Well, that was going to be mine. No, I'm just kidding. So I think for me, it would be make sure you're creating a place and a group that you're fine playing anywhere with. Because for me, especially during this conversation, I realized I was like, if I'm nervous, then there's a reason for it. But if I'm with the right people who we just have fun with anytime, then that's going to work out, right? And also, like, if you go to a game store or to any place in your local city that you feel like is a very welcoming place, then that's also a great place to do it. And so if you feel like, oh, man, I'm not sure, then you can create that. You can create that kind of group, that kind of setting. And don't settle for anything less, because it's like you should only enjoy your time playing, right?
Well said, well said. Dungeon Masters, remember, your players are just as scared of you as you are of them.
Maybe more.
And the other people at other tables are also just as scared of you as you are of them.
Yep.
So just, you know, take that with some pride and be the scariest DM you can.
Love it. I love it, and hopefully that spur kind of pushes you on to many TPKs. Let us know. No.
Maybe that's not good advice. Exactly. I'm sorry.
No.
Don't be scary.
Exactly. Well, thanks again for joining us on How to Be a Better DM. Like always, we're the podcast to help you, the dungeon master, who already has so much on their plate, actually get to each session and each campaign and do a little bit better each time. We'll be back next week with another awesome and fun episode. I've been Justin. This is Tanner and Caden, and obviously Andy. And next time, or until next time, let's go ahead and roll initiative.
Heck yeah.
Do you love these podcast episodes but aren't always able to listen to them? Do you learn better reading information rather than listening to it? Here's what you can do. Go to sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get tips and tricks sent directly to your inbox in written format that you can read and reference whenever you want. You'll get tips that we don't share on the podcast and bonus techniques that, frankly, no one has ever heard before. Again, sessionzerostudios.com/newsletter, and get those free tips and techniques right to your inbox every week.